And we're back. This week, Matt Flynn Direct has been hijacked by Don Brown Connect. All joking aside, this is Alderman Don Brown, the host for This Week in Waukesha on Saturday mornings. And I have the honor of filling in for Matt Flynn while he's taking some much-needed R&R. I hope he's in a warm, sunny spot. But I will say, if you decide to do a staycation, today is a beautiful day. I didn't even need a jacket when I came over to the studio this morning. So, but that was House of Pains, Jump Around. And for those of you, you know, you may not know that that's actually Irish rap. And it's also been adopted by the University of Wisconsin as one of their, not fight song, but, you know, it gets the fans charged up. I know between the third and fourth quarters of football games, and they throw it in certainly for basketball and other events. But excited for the Badgers to be hosting the first round at the Fiserv. That's got to be exciting, especially if you're a Badger fan and you can go local. And then Marquette's also made March Madness, but you'll have to watch them on TV. But always great to see some local teams competing in the big dance here. So, yeah, going back to Jump Around and House of Pain, yeah, that's Irish rap. And, you know, another reason, you know, why to me St. Patrick's Day is really St. Patrick's Day week. One, as you get older, you know, the crowded bar scene doesn't seem as thrilling as it was, you know, when I was like, well, probably like Samantha's age. But really, to, you know, you see a lot of families make a week out of it. Like yesterday, I was visiting my son in Chicago, and we went to a local pub. And so, but, you know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, St. Patrick's Day isn't about, you know, wearing a lot of green or getting obnoxiously drunk or some of the other silly things. Like, when I took my son to lunch yesterday, and there was like, I don't know if he was like a balloon artist or what, but he was dressed like a leprechaun and he was going table to table. And I was like, get away from me. You know, that's, you know, to me, that would be like going to Pat's Ribs or a restaurant that's owned, you know, by an African-American family. And one of the staff or some promotional is dressed like Amos and Andy or Step and Fetch It, you know, a real, you know, it's just, it's insulting. And so, stay away from the leprechaun stuff, too. And also, too, if you're a local bar, don't have your staff dressed in orange. That's offensive to a lot of Irish Americans. There was a bar I used to frequent that would do that and made no sense to me and was really offensive and obnoxious. And so, but going back to the Irish experience in America, they were really two. There's, you know, Irish immigration has been around, you know, going back to the days of the American Revolution. Our Secretary of the Navy and one of our naval heroes was right off the boat from Ireland. I believe his name was John Barry. But in the 1840s, there was the Great Irish Hunger that we know as An Gortaithe Mór, which is Irish for the Great Hunger. And that's one of the big watersheds in American history that you don't learn about in our schools, that a million Irish fled to America. And not just to build a better future for their kids like most people that came over here, but to get lunch, to keep from starving to death. And many didn't even make the trip over. Many died on the boats coming over. But those that made it obviously had a huge impact on American history and culture. And part of that was dealing with, you know, prejudice and discrimination and hatred, both against the Irish, against Catholics. And there was another big wave in the 1920s. So my mother's family came over during the 1840s. And they worked on the railroads for generations. My father's side came over. His parents came over in the 1920s following the, you know, Anglo-Irish War Revolution. And then a treaty was brokered, 1921-22, thereabouts. And for those of you not familiar, the treaty with the British was that most of the island would be a free state, but that the Ulster province, which had a significant Protestant community, would remain part of the United Kingdom. And many in Ireland weren't happy with those results. And a big civil war broke out, a very bloody, probably bloodier than the actual war that preceded it. And that's when my grandfather came over, and my grandmother probably shortly thereafter, perhaps right around the same time. They'd met here in America, but they were just, you know, they grew up down the road from each other in the west of Ireland. And in the 1920s, there was a movement, there was this big fear about all of these Catholic and Jewish immigrants coming over from Europe, waves of them, because a lot of, you know, in the wake of World War One and a lot of other political turmoil, and there were movements in our legislature to try to curb, to keep those people from coming over, or to curb the activity. And some of it was like involved, I believe it's called eugenics, where basically if the shape of your head or something, you know, like some physical trait, especially among Eastern Europeans, that if those dimensions were consistent with your physical outlook, that the idea was to try to deny you passage into the U.S. Or even deport you. And, you know, going back to the school board and this big debate over what should be taught in our public education, you know, unfortunately, a lot of that, you know, wasn't taught when I was growing up. A lot of that was self-taught. But I think it's that exposure to our history, because I see some of these candidates here, conservative candidates, and I can tell by their surnames. And again, okay, my name's Brown with an E, which sounds very English, but believe it, it's 100% Irish. And my mother's a McNamara, her mother's a Ryan, my father's mother was a Frawley, so 100% Foursquare Irish. But anyway, I see the surnames on some of these candidates, and I can guarantee you their people did not come over on the Mayflower. They weren't part of the Daughters of the American Revolution. In fact, they faced a lot of that same prejudice, anti-Catholic prejudice, a lot of, you know, nativist prejudice when their people came over, presumably in the 1920s or even in those, you know, 30 or 40 years preceding that. And it's that kind of perspective we all need to be aware of that should shape our vision for how we want our children to be taught. And to me, that is, you know, again, a broad education with a lot of perspectives being represented to be taught. And, you know, and if that's not your cup of tea, then that's what private schools are for. And that's what you should gravitate to. If you don't feel like you want your child to have a broad liberal arts education, that's what private schools are for. So that's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. And I know we're talking about all things Waukesha, and so I want to try to keep the national debate out of it. But again, our school board, this is our children's school. You know, I have children invested in this school, in our school program. And so there's so many other things to focus on other than a lot of disinformation that has kind of ruled the day here in our city. So, but anyway, moving forward. So, and yeah, callers welcome if you're awake out there. I know I'm, believe it or not, I'm usually up this early, but some of the questions I'm throwing out there is, you know, actually before I do that, I wanted to also make a few announcements here that the calendar was announced for this year's Celebrate Waukesha Breakfast with Mayor Riley. And those take place at Tuscan Hall from 7:30 to 9 a.m. It's invitation only, but the mayor encourages any business owners that aren't aware to participate. And so all you need to do is call Rebecca Peterson, call the mayor's office and see if you could get on that invitation list, because that's the intent of the mayor's breakfast, is to get local business owners and leaders, community leaders, to participate. And so the dates on that, the next one coming up is May 3rd, followed by their quarterly, so August 2nd, and then December 6th. And that's 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. at Tuscan Hall. But in order to attend, you know, contact the mayor's office and see if you can get, on the list. Another thing, too, I wanted to mention, because we wanted to talk about news, is on March 8th, we had a fire here in our city at 1211 Lambeth Road. It was an apartment complex, and I believe that two people were killed and several injured. And I know that there's also on GoFundMe, there's some fundraisers to help some of the survivors on that. I'm checking for an update here on my city site. And that's the other thing too, is check out the newly redesigned City Waukesha website. There's a lot of great invitation here. So, yeah, The City of Waukesha Fire and Police Departments must regretfully notify the community that we lost the life of the 51-year-old female that was transported from the scene. Two other individuals, a husband and wife, had also perished in the fire. Please keep these families in your thoughts and prayers as they process their loss. A determination on the matter and cause of death is being reviewed by the medical examiner's office. And this is really important. The departments remind all members of the community to check smoke detectors, ensure that all family members have a home fire escape plan, and always close bedroom doors to create a safe place if a fire occurs in the home or business. And we can't emphasize that enough. I remember when our kids were little, we'd take them, I think it was always like Target and Home Depot would have these like special like community days, and you'd have like the fire truck and the paramedics there. And there was always a great review about fire safety that was really engaging with the kids. And it was also, there was some really great, helpful, usually well illustrated, like pamphlets or stuff for the parents. And so it's just some things to think about, especially, well, whether you're living in single unit or multi-unit, it's something you should always be pretty vigilant about. But I think, too, if you're in a multi-unit situation, it's good to keep an eye out for your neighbors and for yourself and have a good relationship with that landlord or that association if it's the condo community. So Sam's telling me it's time to pay some more bills, so stick around for Don Brown Connect filling in for Matt Flynn Direct. Lots more to talk about. Stay tuned. I can't make it down, I can't make it down. So get out your seat and jump around.